musicians can be seated. I tell you what, it's so good to be in the presence of the Lord, and I just love the Lord. Good to see Sister Sydney and Bo Dillon. God bless you guys. Good to see you. I think they went and did some shopping yesterday. Sister Sydney did, so we'll talk about what it was. I tell you what, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I love to be a Christian. You know, we had some good meetings at the services at the Pawnee. We got to go to two of them, and enjoyed it, the time that we got to be there. And just want to thank you, to ask you to remember Hannah in your prayers when she comes home. Just give her traveling grace on the way here. And how many come expecting this morning?
Amen.
You know, God has he is a very on-time God, and he knows how to give you a word exactly when you need to hear it. And, I'm thankful for that. One, if you don't mind, let's turn our Bibles to St. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. And I want to speak to you on a thought this morning, the presence of God unveiled. The presence of God unveiled. St. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. I just ask you that you would just pull on the word this morning. You know, Brother Graham talked about when you say amen, it's like saying sick him to the bulldog. You know, that helps the minister, because when we're up here, you got darts coming at you in all kinds of places. And the hardest thing for a minister is to take what God gives you in private to bring it here to you, because, you know, you don't see it, but there's things coming at you constantly. Is that right, Brother Tony? And I know you know that's the truth. St. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. And they were foolish, took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took their oil with their vessels, with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And once you realize, they went to the door. They knew where the door was.
Right.
They knew where to go. And I just want to read one of the scriptures from the Amplified Version. That's verse 7. In the Amplified Version, it says, then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order, trimmed the wicks and added oil and lit them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We humble ourselves before you. Lord, I realize in myself, Lord, I'm just dust of this earth, Lord. Lord, but with a yielded vessel, when you put your hand upon it, Lord, when your spirit is in control, it's not man anymore, it's you. And Lord, we just want to humble ourselves. I ask you that you touch every hearer of the word, Lord, that they could, Lord, look through my foolish talking of myself, Lord. I'm not a good talker, Lord, I don't speak real well. But Lord, may they be able to catch the message that you are trying to give to your people, Lord, through my felt ill lips, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. God bless you. You can be seated. I'll just read a quote, if you don't mind. It says, now, when he is not recognized, his power is always not revealed. When he is not recognized, no matter how much God is standing present, you've got to believe it. That's all. Like the woman with the blood issue, all them people pass by, all them standing up saying, there goes the rabbi, that's the guy that claims to be a prophet, this is the fanatic and all such as that. But what happened? This little woman had an issue of blood, and she had heard about him, and when she come down there, regardless of what anybody said, she recognized who he was, and she said, if I can only touch his garment, see? And when that genuine faith in God became a positive thing to her, what did it release? It released his power to heal her. It touched him in such a way, he turned around and told her what was wrong with her, said, your faith has saved you. What did it? Faith. Others standing there might have been sicker than she was, but you see, she recognized his presence. She knew that was her opportunity. If we could only do that tonight, People, if we could only realize that He is appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, that's to release our desires that we have in Him to us. But we've got to recognize His presence. Now, how you recognize His presence is when the promised word for the age is made manifest. Not the promised word of Moses' age or any other age, the promised word of this age. You know, God works on both ends. God will put the hunger in the heart of a man, and then God will send a word to meet that hunger. Is that right? So this woman had need of a healing, but so there was a hunger inside this woman to be healed. You know, there was something that she didn't put there. It was a desire that God put inside her heart. God put the hunger inside her. I want to be healed. Not just because of saying, you know, I wish I felt better, but I believe God put a desire and a hunger for it. They that thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. God, you know, Brother Graham talked one time about a little boy that was chewing the pedal on his bicycle, and the reason he was doing that, come to find out, his body needed sulfur. And then because for his body to hunger for sulfur, there had to be a sulfur out there somewhere to quench that hunger on the inside of him. And that's the same way it is with the church of the living God. When you want and you have a desire for divine healing, you have a desire for more of the Word, you have a desire for more of the Holy Ghost, the reason you have that desire is God's putting the desire in your heart. And the reason God's giving you the hunger in your heart for more Word, more of a Spirit, more divine healing, more a desire to see a God unveiled, the reason you have that hunger is God wants to give that to you. God would not give you a hunger for vanilla ice cream if there was not a vanilla ice cream. God has He desires His church to want to desire Him. There's no better thing than for a God to have a people that want to worship Him, that want to serve Him. I desire to worship God. That's what He desires. Is that right? So God gave this woman the hunger and the desire for the Word, and it's God that puts that desire. And you know, God's Word will not return to Him void. You know, it's very important to remember, it's always been God pursuing man. It's never been man pursuing God. It's always been God pursuing man. Right. Let's go to St. John 6:44. I bet I drank a gallon of milk. Gallon of water this morning. And I'm still thirsty. I think it's probably the temperature. I don't know. St. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father. Now catch this. No man can come to me except the Father which had sent me draw him. So the same God is sending Jesus Christ. That same God is drawing the man. Now, do we know that this portion of him being sent, it's God still, but it's a different manifestation of God. God coming in a vehicle of flesh to complete redemption through Jesus Christ. Is that right? St. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, verse 14, and the Word become flesh. Is that right? So who is God? Jesus Christ. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. So Jesus Christ was sent into the earth, and at the same time He sent into the earth, God is drawing man. So God works on both ends. God sends Jesus, God draws you. God sends the Word, He gives you a hunger for the Word. God works on both ends. The same one that sent Jesus draws the believers that He was sent to. And there is a void in their life, and Jesus Christ is the one to fill that void. And Christ means the anointed one. Is that right? Anointed.
Right.
Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We've got to try to build this platform, didn't we? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in flesh is not God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. I want you to realize that when he's talking about, it didn't say that Jesus Christ came, but it says Jesus Christ is here. Is here. It's a present Christ among us. It's a present anointing. I'm going to read verse 3 again. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Catch that. He that knoweth, so they're talking about people, they can hear the world, they're from the world, so they can hear the world. But he said, these people, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John is saying that if a man knows God, he will hear the word that I'm speaking.
Right?
Because you'll see more of what I'm talking about. So there will be a people that can hear his audible voice of what he's speaking, but they can't hear the voice within the voice of what he's trying to say. They won't recognize the shepherd's voice. There's a shepherd. There's always been a shepherd's voice from the very beginning of time, brothers and sisters. There's always been a shepherd's voice speaking through his people. And it's been through portions of the word all down through the ages. Just like having a statue up here, that if I could have a statue and I had a pillowcase on top of that and I'm pulling that pillowcase off of that, you're seeing little bitty pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces. And it might look different, but it's always the same statue. It's always the same unveiling of the same one. And that's why it's been God all down through the ages, God revealing himself to his people. He started out through the small thing, through sacrifices. He taught through small things to Noah and the ark. He started with small things through Abraham. He started small things through Job. He started small things through David, killing Goliath. What was it? It was God pulling a pillowcase back. And at the very consummation of the ages, where it won't just be a portion of a small thing of God, a small thing of him, a small thing here, but it will come a time where Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all scriptures, will become unveiled in front of the people. And they won't even recognize him. They'll hate him. The people that had the very word that said, I serve God, he was standing right in that midst, and they hated him.
Right.
But at the same time, brother and sister, it was a confirmation to all them that walked in what was given to them. There was light that was given to Job. There was light given to David. There was light given to Elijah. And when they walked in that light,
amen.
When Jesus come in flesh, he was confirmation.
Amen.
I knew it was right.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'll get you back on what I'm doing here. St. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. What's life eternal? Speaking in tongues, shouting, dancing. To know God.
Amen.
Amen. I have glorified thee. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self for the glory which I have had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. They were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are free of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they didst believe that thou didst send me. God came in the vehicle of a mass through the flesh of Jesus Christ, and he finished his work through that vehicle. You say amen?
Amen.
God, through the manifestation of Jesus Christ, through the spoken word, he completely finished that work of what he was doing through Jesus Christ.
Right.
But Christ is still here. Amen. And Christ is still doing a work.
Amen.
And he's doing it in his people. Amen. And he does it through the word.
Amen. Right.
The same God, the same anointing, but it's a different mass. Now, just real quickly, down the Old Testament, as we talked about in the Old Testament, they lived according to the word that was given to them. And they were sent to paradise, or Jacob's bosom, and they were waiting on the Lord. And they didn't have the entire presence of the Lord, like I mentioned a while ago. They had a portion of the word that was given to them. And whenever they believed the word that was given to them, they were sealed away into paradise or Jacob's bosom. And at the same time that they, the same word, the same opportunity was given, There was another group of people that turned it down, brother and sister. And they went to prison. We're talking about souls that went to prison.
That's right.
Brother and sister, the same thing's happening now.
Right.
Well, the same word is coming to a people, and they are walking in that lie. They're walking in the word, and they are free. They're saying, I accept this word, and it releases a power to them. See, that's where the Satan works so hard to get people on looking in. Well, I don't want to have to live like that. I don't want to have to do that. They're looking at the squabbles and the nonsense. You got to look at the dynamics. I'm walking with God.
Amen.
I'm talking about a God that heals. I'm talking about God, a God that restores. I'm talking about a God that can fill you with the Holy Ghost. You got to look at the right thing. It ain't about rules and all this nonsense. He's looking at God.
Amen.
The unveiling of God. See, the message has been come to not just show us where we can talk all about the Word, but it's that we can know the presence of God. Because there's so many people that can quote the Bible, quote the message, but they don't have the presence of God.
Right.
Brother and sister, I want the presence. I may not be able to quote this right, I may be able to talk this right, but I've got Him.
Amen.
I know who. Jesus talked to them one time. He says, who do they say that I am? He said, some say thou art Jonas, Elias, or one of the prophets. He says, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are thou, Simon, son of Barjona, for flesh hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. What was it? It was God making Himself known to who they are.
Amen.
Amen. Of who He is. God revealing Himself to the people. Now the people were accountable to what they had been given. And I want to stop here for just a moment. We'll come back to this. Joseph was a perfect type, almost a perfect type of Jesus Christ. Is that right? In the Old Testament.
Right.
Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was hated of his brethren. Joseph, they took the coat of many colors, put blood on it to snatch it away, to show the father, hey, he's dead. Joseph was put into prison. There was one man that was saved. There was one man that was lost. Joseph. Joseph was put up on the right hand to where any time somebody came in his presence, they had to bow their knees before Joseph.
Right.
Type of Jesus Christ. And one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that right. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Joseph was absolutely a perfect type of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, and now with Joseph, what did Joseph do? Joseph married a Gentile.
Right.
Joseph took the bride, his bride, to the palace. And then what did he do? Joseph was going to go before his brethren to reveal himself to Benjamin, the 144,000. Is that right? Joseph was doing that. What it is a type of, brother and sister, that Christ is going to blind the Jews to reveal the word to the Gentiles, where the Gentiles can have the revealed word, where they can receive salvation. If God did not, if He did not blind the Jews, they would have accepted, they would have went on, and there would have been no us. But by God's grace, God blinded them that He could show the word to us. But you know, we remember, so there's a lot of times people criticize them for not seeing who God was. But you got to remember, God blinded them so we could receive the word.
Mm-hmm.
Today, people blind themselves because God will show the word, say, this is the word, this is it. He'll show that, and they will willfully walk away from it and say, I don't believe it. Amen.
Amen.
Brother and sister, it's one thing for them because they couldn't see it. God blinded them. But today, God is opening His word. All that will come. He's freely casting the nets and come. Come for salvation. Come for deliverance. Come for these great things.
Right.
Man will willfully disobey. I don't believe it. It don't go according to my church. It don't go according to how I feel. What I feel God should do, this is how I feel. It don't matter how you feel.
Right.
Amen. Let me say something. In the days of Noah, I'll get back to my text in just a moment. In the days of Noah, God sent the word and said, I am going to flood the earth. I'm going to do this thing. God, I'm going to bring rain from the sky. How many interpretations do people have of saying, I think this is how it can be done? It's never rained. It's never done these things. So we're going to get back to this block in just a second. Scripture says, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also, Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is there a confusion here? What's the name of the Father? Jesus Christ. What's the name of the Son? Jesus Christ. Who is the Holy Ghost? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it matters. Does it matter? Let me show you something. If it doesn't matter, why did God say when you build the ark, you use gopher wood? When God said when you build the temple, these are the dimensions you must use. When you build the altar, this is how you build it. When you do this, this is how you do it. If someone touches the mountain, they'll die.
if God is so open-minded and said, all you got to do is love me, all you got to do is be sincere, why in the world would God be so specific and say, this is how you build the ark. This is the dimensions you've got to use. This is how you build the altar. This is how you do this. This is how you do. God was specific and said, when you do it, this is how you should do it.
Amen.
If God, in the New Testament, God didn't do away with the Old Testament. He magnified it.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, if you slap with your neighbor's wife, you're an adulterer. In the New Testament, he said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. He didn't do away with it. He magnified it. But the difference was he gave you the power of the Holy Ghost to change your nature to where you, because you can't live this message.
Right.
No, brother, I can. Only he can.
Amen.
Yeah. Whenever he told them to build the ark, he said, you use gopher wood. How ridiculous does it look to build an ark with gopher wood? Because gopher wood absorbs water. When you take this gopher wood, you dip it in the water, it's just going to suck it all up. It was a perfect type of Christ. It was an unveiling of God. Because he showed them, in order, the process for you to prepare this gopher wood to build this ark, you take another tree, you beat the life out of that tree, you heat that life up, and you pour that life into the gopher wood. This gopher wood that's so thirsty for the things of the world, so thirsty, this gopher wood will suck up everything in the world. Why in the world would God choose us? Because we were thirsting, because we were hungry for something. You know why a man drinks and does all the things he does? He has a hole inside of him.
Right,
he's trying to fill
right,
that hole.
Right.
You're a gopher wood. Why do you listen to rock and roll music? Why do you listen to country music? What is it that makes you want to thirst for the things of the world? It's because you've got a hole inside you and you are thirsting for something.
Amen.
And Satan will try to fill that up with everything of the world, but at the same time he's doing it, there's Jesus Christ. They beat the life out of him. And all that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured into the church. Brother and sister, that gopher wood, whenever it comes to the right process, it is no longer thirsting for the things of the world because it is a sealing that takes place.
Amen.
You say amen. God will seal you from the inside out.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said on the outside, on the Pharisees, Sadducees, on the outside you're full of righteousness, on the inside you're full of dead man's bones.
Right.
See, a lot of times anybody can make the outside look right.
Right.
I'd rather see more people rot on the inside. But you know what? If you get the inside right, everything else take care of itself.
Yeah.
I read a quote this morning where Brother Branham was coming and talked about this is going to stop you. Get ready. Hold on to your seat. Brother Branham talked about how he was going to baptize somebody. And he said, you didn't baptize according to right. He said, but brother, he said, they had the right spirit on them. He said, I would rather have somebody that had the right spirit and maybe the wrong doctrine. He said, then they had the wrong spirit in the right message.
Yeah.
Brother and sister, Brother Branham baptized him? Yep. I'll show you the quote. I'll just read it to you. Brother and sister, it's so important we get the spirit right. Because you know what? It don't matter how much we get on the outside. You get the wrong spirit, you have failed your mission.
Right.
Our mission on this life is to present Jesus Christ upon this earth. And you know what? I'm here to tell you. There was a little woman that whenever Jesus was in their midst, I'm dancing all over the place, but I'm getting somewhere. There was a little, Jesus was in the midst. And remember, Jesus was invited to Simon. He said, you come to my house, come eat supper with me. And Jesus knows what they'll do with him. Jesus said, he'll come where he's welcome. He came right to their house and they put him in a corner somewhere. And while Jesus was sitting there, no feet washed, no anointing, no nothing, the most religious people in the world didn't recognize the presence of God in their midst. It was an unveiling of God in their midst, but at the same time, there was another woman that come through, and she was caught in all kinds of the world. But when she saw Jesus, when she looked at him, there was something inside her that recognized who he was, and it released the power of salvation for her. Brother and sister, we need to see some more releasing of power.
Amen.
To where whenever we are going, where God, because where is Christ at today? In his people.
Amen.
Supposed to be Christ in his people. So that means people should be able to look at our lives and recognize the presence of God in our lives, and it will release the power of God in them, because it is Jesus Christ in the bride today. But it's so few. The rapture is so few. The rapture will be so few, brother and sister, that people will continue to go to church. thinking they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People will still go to church thinking they're praising God, thinking they are the elite of the elite, and the whole time they don't even recognize that they've already missed the rapture.
Right. Wasn't Elias supposed to come first?
He already came, and he didn't even know it. Brother and sister, could you imagine people that will go to church, take up offerings, worship God, tears going out of their eyes, praising God, dancing, speaking in tongues, prophesying, and they missed the rapture 2 weeks ago. This is a reality. This is something that's going to happen. Brother and sister, it makes me worse. The reason it happened is because they stopped recognizing the presence of God in their midst. We need to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Not out of fear, out of joy, out of love, out of excitement. Could you imagine Dylan pulling you in here, son? Welcome to the club. Could you imagine Dylan, me having to give him a logbook? Dylan, when you wake up in the morning, give a logbook. Think about Sydney. Check. Valentine's Day, logbook. Buy Sydney flowers. Wow. Could you imagine that, Sydney? Look at Dylan and wink at him. Going according to the logbook, you're doing exactly right, but where in the world's the life in that? But you know what? When you've got a genuine love for them, you do it automatically. The works just follow. And brother and sister, that's what it is with the bride of Jesus Christ. When you love the presence of God, the works will follow automatically. Amen?
Amen.
When you get out to drink coffee juice, she automatically comes. All I got to do is turn that little grinder on. It don't matter. She could be snoring. And you'll hear those little feet hit the ground. What is it? Because I know these are things that will attract her attention. I know when I grind that coffee bean, she will come. And brother and sister, I'm here to tell you something. There's things that we do as believers that brings the presence of God right into our midst.
Amen.
There's things that God, there's something on the inside of you. I don't know why there's certain things that I do, but God loves it. There's certain things that you may do that may annoy the fire of somebody else. But the one that loves you loves it. I just as a joke, brother Tim would grind ice in his mouth and just drives Catherine crazy. Not quite the crazy we're looking for. We're a little family. We all know what we're talking about. Brother and sister, I'm talking about a walk with God to where whenever you are married with this word, brother and sister, it's whenever you are in harmony with God, where you are talking to God on a daily basis. When you get up and you're going down the road, your mind is on Him. When you're fishing, your mind is on Him. When you're doing laundry, your mind is on Him. When you're doing everything that you do, your mind is on Him. What is it? You are in love with God. Brother and sister, don't let the devil get in between that. You kindle that fire. Me and my wife have been married 22 years this year. I pray God don't ever let our honeymoon die. Keep that fire between us. You know what, them sisters? And brother, I tell you, I'm one of the worst ones in the world about sending flowers. But you know what? It means the world to them. I figure I at least got one amen out of that. There's little things that we can do, brother and sister, that will rekindle. It rekindles that fire on the inside of that. What is it? I'm talking about keeping the harmony and the unity inside the home. Unity inside the marriage. And there's a unity that we can have when we are walking with God, because God has a present word that will give us. He'll give us a sustaining word for the hour. You know, if I'm doing everything I can for my wife, do you think she's going to give me some stale bread? She thinks she'll give me some kind of something from yesterday, some old dried up pickle. So here's your supper. I ain't never had one. Those bit of short don't sound good. You know, because I'm approaching her in the right way, with the right demeanor, the right spirit, and she's doing that to me, brother and sister, she's going to give me the best. I want God's best.
Amen.
And God's best is His word. It's His present word. But you know what? We can't just walk nonchalant and expect us to have a dynamic marriage. How many of you want a dynamic marriage? That's terrible. That's pitiful. How many of you want a dynamic marriage?
Amen.
There we go. It's a little better. Still pitiful. I want a marriage that's on fire, you know? Whenever my wife, I will literally be walking through the service room the other day. I had a walk-in service take care of their job for them. And my wife come walking through there, and just from the far distance of it, I see her from a distance, brother and sister, and my heart lights up, and her lights up, and eyes lock up. And people say, oh, you must be newlywed. No, I've been married for 21 years. Wow. Brother and sister, I want that same walk with them. I want that same thing with the presence of God, to where you are so in tune with the Spirit of God, no matter what trial you are going through, when you see a cloud the size of a man's hand of God, there's something inside you that lights up and says, praise God, that's God. Amen. That's the God I serve. Amen. This is the God I can do. And you know what? The best thing that she can do, I'm really getting away from my notes, I know, but you know, there's characteristics in my life that I can bring out that I can't do by myself. I need my wife to draw those things out of me. Listen to me, there are characteristics of God that He has, that He wants to manifest, but we have got to draw it out of Him.
Amen.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will cause the lame to walk. Is that right? He will raise the dead. Is that right? He will still deliver. Is that right? He will part the waters. Is that right? Am I preaching to myself this morning?
Amen.
He's still the same God, but we've got to draw it out of Him, brother and sister. There's certain attributes in your husband or your wife. It's still there. They're the same person. You just got to start drawing it again. You just got to start drawing that presence. God will still refill with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know what? God will still come. I don't tell me He don't do it. He does it to me all the time. I'll be walking on the car lot, working, and my mind will think on the Lord. I say, God, you're so good. And just like a breeze will come down, He'll come and refill me with the Holy Ghost right there in the car lot. If God can do that for me on a car lot, what can He do for you in your private room? If God can do that for me in the midst of all the chaos, what can He do for you when you sanctify a place and say, God, this is my time with you?
Amen.
God will come, brother and sister, but you've got to expect Him and you've got to engage Him. You've got to engage God. God, I need this help. This woman had probably never, with a blood issue, had probably never seen anybody healed before. We don't know. But there was something inside her that says, I want my engagement. Not this kind of engagement, probably that one too, but I want to see God engaged as a healer.
Amen.
I want to see God moving. I want the power of God in my midst. You know what? I believe God hates a powerless church. I believe He hates it because He has given us the Word. The greatest thing that we can have in this life as a weapon is His Word. God has given us this Word. But you know what? We have to apply the Word.
Amen.
We have to take that Word and say, Lord, Your Word says, by Your stripes I am healed. Your Word says. And you know what? You have mountains. You have all these things coming against you. You know why God's doing that? Because God has given you opportunity. Like when you are under the pressure and you're going through the mountains, what is it? God is giving you opportunity that He can once again unveil Himself to you that I am God.
Amen.
You have to go through times. Sometimes, why am I going through this trial? Because God's fixing to unveil Himself again to you. It's one thing to look in the Bible and see God unveiling Himself through David. We know when David went to go fight Goliath, his brothers were looking and seeing this Goliath in front of him, shouting, who will come and fight me? We can look at the Bible and say, you know what? These men are the children of the living God. They're the army of God. And here this Goliath is, the uncircumcised Philistine is talking down to him, breathing down their neck, and here they are just standing there shaking in their boots. We can look at the Bible and say, that's pathetic. We can look at the scriptures and say, how pathetic. Don't they know they're God's army? And here come little David come through there. Had never fought one like that before. But what was it? There was something inside David that says, I've got to engage God. I've got to go fight this. What was David doing? David was unveiling who God was to those people.
Amen.
Is that right? God was unveiling. David was unveiling to them. Now, we can look back there and say, we can behold it. You know, they got
shows where you watch animals and different things, and you watch, they'll go all the way around that bug and everything. And you can criticize, you can point, you can think, you can do all that stuff. Well, the Bible is just like that. We can look at these things and we can even criticize, look at all the people, the mistakes they did. Don't you see God in your midst? But the whole time we're beholding them right in our own midst, in our own present life. We are standing before Goliath. And so many times we're standing there just shaking in our boots. We're letting the devil take every divine promise away from us. The devil will come at you and come in like a flood, put fear in your heart, make you afraid of certain things, make you nervous about certain things. The devil putting sickness in your family, God doing all kinds of things, just beating us to pieces. And the whole time we can look at the scriptures and say, man, why don't they just have faith in God? My goodness, but don't they realize who God was? Because you know, we can look, hindsight is 20/20. Say, man. Have you ever noticed how you guard through something and you don't realize it's God until you look backwards? You're like, wow, that was God. I believe that, brother and sister, God wants to unveil himself to us today.
Amen.
But you know what? How does that happen? It's whenever you were in the midst of your storm. You don't look at your storm. You're looking at God. You're saying, God, your word says, my children will be saved.
Amen.
Your word says, when you're taking that sword, brother and sister, by faith, and you don't feel a thing, you don't hear a thing, you are walking by faith. Lord, this is the message of the hour. You said there's light in the evening time. You said this is the word. And you are marching forward. And you're walking by faith. And you're taking by faith. You're claiming your promises by faith. Am I reaching anybody this morning?
Amen.
Brother, sister, it's where you have got to claim your divine promise. You know why people don't get excited anymore? They ain't rejoicing over the testimonies. You think there was any rejoicing going on when David walked into the next church service holding the head of Goliath? A head probably that big. Walking into the church, probably had both hands, carried that head. Put his head beside him. Now let's have church. You hear a thump on the floor because his head was so big. What was it? David was carrying the giant that he just slew when he came into service. And he was beholding, my God slew this devil. And you know, other people can look and say, look at the devil he just slew. Look at the devil, this Goliath that David just slew. What was it? It was his testimony, brother and sister. It's where he was walking with a testimony. This is what God did in my life. When's the last time you testified about what God is doing in your life? Shame on us. He's been so good to us, the giants. How many times God will heal for us? God will deliver for us. God will do these great things for us. And we don't do nothing with it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine me buying a ring for my wife as nice as the one that Dylan got Sydney? That's a pretty little thing. And her don't tell nobody about it. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't like to testify in front of people. You just ain't thankful enough. Let me tell you something. You get thankful enough, you let somebody that's dying of cancer. I'm not saying you. I'm usually using an example, so don't bring your hand up like that. Okay. Are y'all catching what I'm saying this morning?
Yeah.
You take someone that's dying of cancer, and they're on the verge of death, and God turns that thing around and heals, you think you have to beg them to testify about what God did? They're thankful.
Amen.
Their family is faithful. Because they can say, you know what? I saw it. I saw God in our midst. We didn't know what we were going to do. It was dark. It was scary. We thought we were going to lose Mama. And in the midst of that, whenever it looked, she was right on the end. Right then, God turned it around. God healed her. You don't have to beg them to testify. Brother and sister, whenever you testify about what God's doing, you are welcoming the angels among you. You are welcoming faith around you. You know, the words that we speak, they are life. They can be death too.
Yeah.
You know, we're so easy. We're so quick to speak about all the things going wrong. Hey, how's your day going? Going good. Give a couple of minutes. I'm talking about this going wrong, this going wrong, this going wrong, this going wrong, this going wrong. Ouch.
Yeah.
But brother and sister, we will use this mouth. I'm talking about Brother Daniel. Brother and sister, with this same mouth, we can testify about what God's doing. God is awesome. God's been moving in my midst. You know what? During my prayer meeting this morning, it was just a presence of God coming down. What are you doing? You are welcoming God in your midst, brother and sister. You're creating an atmosphere.
Amen.
Brother Graham talked about how that we are, and if he said, if I could present it this way, he said, you're down in the middle. He said, you're in the middle. There's a dimension from heaven, and there's a dimension from hell. And you are influenced by either one.
Right.
And they're constantly bombarding you. The dimension of hell is constantly trying to bombard you, trying to influence you. Why is it that you don't want to think about certain things, but all of a sudden your mind starts thinking about it? What is it? It's the influence of hell trying to pull you back to those things, brother and sister. At the same time, the influence of heaven is trying to pull you to high greater heights. Talk about the word. Talk about what God's doing in your midst. Listen to me, brother and sister. If you will talk about God, God will be in your midst.
Amen.
You sit around a campfire, you start talking about scary stuff, what do you start feeling?
Right.
Scared. You can see grown men get scared. Over the stupidest story. Where's my golden arm? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. How stupid is that story? But at the same time, after that story, you'll be sitting in your tent like, where's my golden arm? That devil will put the stupidest fears in your mind. The thing that you could just stop and step out of that for a second and look back and look at what you have been afraid about. That's stupid. Why would I be afraid of that? That's exactly what the devil does, brother and sister. He will get you to walk in fear where you're walking afraid, where you're just so relaxed. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
Many of the times that we walk and we're afraid of, it's the stupidest thing in the world. We are not called to fear. God has called us to faith, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
Well, we're talking about in the beginning. We're still talking about being filled with oil, brother and sister. Whenever you are filled with oil, you are walking in the presence of God on a daily basis, brother and sister. You are walking in His presence. You're being led by His Spirit. You are walking with purpose in your life. You are engaged with God, brother and sister. But Satan will try so hard to let your oil drain out. You still got the Word. You still got your lamp. You ain't got the presence of God, and you ain't seen Him in a long time. Devil will get you because he will keep you right in that. You think he ain't a smart devil? He knows just enough of how to pull you out to where it's just a little. But you know what? It's a little tug of the devil, but I'm okay. He'll tug you down like a little bobber. Them little perch will steal your mind. He'll nudge it down just a little bit to where you are just on a daily basis, that devil is slowly tugging at you. And you know what that fish is doing? He's robbing your hook. And listen to me, that devil on a daily basis, he'll rob your marriage. He'll rob your prayer life. He'll rob your study life. And he won't do it all at once. He's smart enough. He knows I'm going to take just a little bit of your presence out. A little bit more of your presence away. A little bit more presence away. And the next thing you know, you're sitting there for 2.5 hours and you ain't even got a worm on your hook. What's the purpose of fishing? It's to catch fish. And your purpose is defeated because you ain't even got no bait anymore. Listen to me. You've got certain things about you that's a bait that can attract the Holy Spirit, that can attract God. Satan wants to take your bait away. I want to hook God and hook, line, and sinker.
Amen.
Yeah.
Listen to me. This is a serious thing. If we will recognize the presence of God unveiled in my midst, in my life, what good does it do for you to know the presence of God unveiled in somebody else's life? Brother Brennan's life, Joseph's life, Jonah's life, Tony's life, Tim's life, Figgy's life. What about your life?
Amen.
God unveiled in my life. Me and Brother Tony were talking about this just the other day, brother, and I hope you weren't going to plan on preaching on it. I'm going to steal it real quick. I'll give it back to you, though. Mm-hmm. We were fellowshipping one day talking about a tree or a fruit. And if you were to take the life of any kind of fruit, a tree or a plant that bears fruit, over the life of that tree, it's unbelievable how much fruit it would be. Is that right? Unbelievable. One little plant. You'd say, my goodness, look at this huge amount of fruit that I have. That tree must be humongous. That tree must be gigantic. This thing must be enormous to be able to produce this much fruit. And then whenever you pull the veil back and you see it's just a little bitty,
shrub-looking tree. It ain't real big. It ain't real nothing real pretty. It ain't nothing real fancy. But it's bearing fruit. And brother and sister, that's the life that we want. We don't care about if we have a big house, nice car, a big church, a lot of members. Brother and sister, we need fruit.
Amen.
We need a fruit where we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, or we are bearing the fruit of this word. It don't matter how tall we are, how big in numbers we are. It don't matter none of that, brother and sister. How is our fruit with God?
Amen.
Because fruit does not lie. I can tell the tree, I can say my plant's got life, it's got life, it's got life, it's got life. But listen to me, if it ain't got no fruit, there's something wrong. Listen to me, if the presence of God does not lie. Listen to me, I've said it again, the presence of God does not lie. If you say you've got the presence of God, there will be fruit. Because that is God confirming this is a lemon tree. This is an apple tree. This is a pecan tree. We can say it all we want to with our mouths, but if our life speaks louder than our testimony and it's contrary, brother and sister, there's something wrong. We want God to put His confirmation on us where God is showing this is the bride. Amen?
Amen.
It don't matter about numbers. Because you know, you can have a big number church and you can fall right in the middle of that and tucked in. You're just like, ah. Nobody will ever see me. I don't have to praise God. I don't have to do none of that stuff. I can just mingle right in, and people say, that's the loveliest church I've ever seen. They got the life of God. They're dancing in the Spirit. They're doing all these things, and the whole time, you're tucked right in with them. You're going right with the crew, right with the crowd. Boy, they've got life in them. They've got life in them. But you know yourself if you have life or if you don't. Brother and sister, this is serious. This is the most serious thing you'll ever have in your life. It's better than healings. It's better than miracles. You know, when Hannah was born, you know the testimony, how God healed her feet, absolutely healed her feet. She's got perfectly stinky feet to this day. But you know what? That has nothing to do with her fruit in her life today. I've seen miracles of Elijah's face. That poor boy was even uglier than he is today. He had that stuff all over his face. It's absolutely terrible. All over his face. God absolutely 100% healed his face. I'm talking an absolute miracle.
Amen.
That has nothing to do with his fruit today.
Right.
There's miracles that we have seen God do in our midst. It has nothing to do with our fruit today. We need the unveiling of God in our life today, where God is taking you and God is pulling the veil off you. And God is showing you, showing the world, this is my bride.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the look on Joseph's brother's face when they realized who Joseph was? Whenever he began to reveal himself, this is who I am, I'm Joseph. Oh my gosh, that's Joseph. That's the one we sold. That's the one we did this. That's the one we did that. Could you imagine the shock? Brother and sister, Christ, God is revealing His word today, but He is doing it through people. He's revealing who His word is today, not just through a spoken word. That word, that there is a spoken word, don't get me wrong, but that word has become flesh. Jesus, God was a spirit, then He stepped into flesh in Jesus Christ through the spoken word. That word come through again, speaking the word. What is it? The spoken word coming forth down seven church ages. God had seven church ages. John, whenever he heard the voice of a trumpet turn behind him, he saw seven lampstands. In the midst of it, what was it? It was a bride made up in seven church ages. God unveiling Himself to people. And God is unveiling Himself again to people today, but it's through you and me, brother and sister. Do you believe that about yourself?
Amen.
You know what the problem is? We don't have confidence in ourselves. No, I'm not talking about having confidence in yourself. I'm talking about the God inside you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have confidence that I am the bride.
Amen.
Could you imagine being my wife walking around and her doubting whether she's my wife, my bride? I've been married 21 years and you're still doubting whether you're my bride. walking with God all this time and they're still doubting whether God loves them. Are you kidding me? My wife, I'm going to put you on the pedestal for now. My wife, we're going down the road and she'll say, how much do you love me? Behold my works. A woman has to constantly be told, I love you. 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 How many times do we as God have to continually remind you, I love you. You are important to me. You are the apple of my eye. I do this. I've met this need for you. I've done this for you. I've given you a house. I've given you a car. I've given you food for your table. I've given you all these things. God is telling you, can you not look at everything I do? Of course I love you. Look at the works that I'm doing in your life. And you keep doubting whether I love you. You say, I don't doubt whether God loves me. How many times are you walking in fear, worrying whether God's going to meet your need or not? How many times do you have a debt in front of you that I don't know how I'm going to pay this debt, but at the whole time, God is standing right in front of you and saying, I love you. I will meet the need. Stop worrying about it. Trust in me. Speak my word. Speak my word. Engage my word. You know, when Jesus was going to take the beating of a lie, all the angels in heaven were standing all around him and said, all you got to do is shine. Just move one finger. Move one finger and I'll slay every one of them. But he wouldn't do it because Jesus Christ had to go through what he had to go through in order to fulfill redemption, brother and sister. I believe whenever you are going, I'm talking about you, individually, when you are going through a trial, every angel in heaven is standing around saying, God, just move a finger, God. Move a finger. Allow me to fight for them. Allow me to do it. And there's so many times God's just waiting on you to speak the word. Speak the word. Say it. All you got to do is say it. He's standing right there ready to fight for you. But you've got to engage him. You've got to speak the word. Brother Graham talked about and when that woman that was healed of a blood issue, brother and sister, there were other people that were absolutely sicker than she was. And they left sick and probably died. But this woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. The healing was already there. But they had to reach out and grab it so God could unveil himself as a healer. God wants to unveil himself for you to, as it were, you do the praying. Now, I'm not against prayer requests. I give the prayer request, okay? But there's so many times whenever a need will rise, I gotta put the prayer request in. Stop looking at that phone and you do the praying. Because sometimes it's God wants you to slay Goliath. That way, you can take the head of Goliath into service and you can drop his head on the floor where you can say, this is what God did in my prayer life this week. This is my testimony. This is what God did in my life. That way, because brother and sister, whenever you are beholding the testimonies that God is doing in your life, your eyes are not on what God can't do. Your eyes are on what God is doing. God wants us to behold what he's doing in your life. But God's not going to push you through a pot. God's going to call you through the pot. Believe my word. Believe my word. Speak my word. I'm here. I want to meet your need. I want to show you I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to show you these things. Push yourself through this pot. Press yourself into belief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Whenever you can't stand, all you can do is stand. Just stand and say, God, I believe your word. And God will give you the test. You think God don't want to give you testimonies? God wants to give you testimonies. I want my children to be proud that I'm their dad. There was a time whenever I looked in the mirror, I was proud of what I saw. I'm not too proud anymore of what I see. I'm afraid it gets worse as I get older. But you know what? There's characteristics about me as just a dad. There's certain things about me that I want my children to look up to me and say, that's mine. Brother and sister, God's the same way, but he don't change. He don't get old. God wants you to be able to behold him and say, that's my God. This is the God of the Bible. He is so awesome to write books about him. This is my God. My God raises the dead. My God heals the sick. My God delivers. My God does that. It's one thing to talk about it in the Bible, brother and sister, but you need to talk about it in your own life. Mm-hmm. Where you can say, this is God in my life. This is God meeting needs in my life. This is my testimony. I think it's good to share testimony of what other people do. I do. But you know what God really got? I believe God gets glory from that. When you share a testimony. When we talk about Darrell Ward and the healing of his daughter, I believe God gets glory from that. Amen. But you know where I think God will get more glory from it? Is when you give your testimony.
Right.
This is God in my midst. This is God saved me. God delivered me. God did this. I'm going to pull one Rachel into the fire and we'll end the service. Get ready to end the service. I remember I saw my wife the other day and I was brushing my teeth. I said, I don't know why in the world I remember that. I said, I remember one evening, this little car come squalling down our hill in Panama. I don't think they even stopped before they put it in park. And this little blonde-headed bag of bones gets out of that car and runs full speed ahead and basically tackles Elijah almost. Because they have been communicating over the phone and text and communicating over this thing. There was a communication to where they were, you didn't see them. You were just texting and calling and texting and calling and texting and calling and texting and calling. And you get excited about texting and calling and texting and calling and texting and calling. But it's a whole new level when you're looking in face. This is Elijah with skin on him. You see, can you catch what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one thing where you're talking to God through prayer. You're talking to God through prayer. You're talking to God through prayer. It's another thing when you can see God in flesh. The one you've been talking to. The one you've been praying about. The one you've been testifying, this is him.
Amen.
This is him in our midst. I didn't have to call her and say, hey, I want you to get excited and see Elijah. I want you to be real happy. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to pump her up, brother and sister. It was a love already there. But they were putting wood on the fire. Texting and calling, texting and calling, texting. But you know what? What would happen if they would have stopped texting and they'd have stopped calling? What would have happened if they would have, you know what? They know I love them. No communication. You don't talk to them. You don't text them. You know what would have happened? She would have probably slowly come down the hill if she came at all. And then when she's like, oh, there's Elijah, one of them. Thank God I'm one of them. Praise the Lord. I'm a Christian. Praise God. No fire in your worship at all. No passion in your service at all. But you let somebody get delivered one time. Brother and sister, it puts a fire inside you. And I know this probably hurts a little bit. And when you go through the week, I want you to think about what I'm telling you today.
Amen.
You think about after the service. You think, and many times that's when you really catch the message, is after the service. You see if that devil ain't trying so hard to laxadoo you to where you worship God, but you're not a part of God. Not in the world. You don't drink. How many of you smoke cigarettes this week? None. How many of you in the bar room yesterday? None. How many of you was out doing dope yesterday? None. How many of you were on your knees seeking God with all of your heart yesterday? How many of you were thinking so much on God that, God, I just want to see God one more time. I want to see God speak to me one more time, Lord. I want to see you move in your word, Lord, one more time. Because you know what? God's the one that puts the desire in your heart. And God will put the desire. And when God puts that desire and you feed to that desire, God will meet the desire. God will do it, brothers. God wants to reveal himself to you in his power. God wants to reveal himself through you in your marriage. I told my son Malachi last night, I said, son, you're becoming a man to where you don't want to look at daddy's testimonies or Tony's testimonies or Matthew's testimonies. You want to look at your testimony. What's God doing in you? Who do you say that he is? Who are you saying this message is? You'd be surprised how many people today He honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Let's all stand. I want to read a quote. He says, remember every time that the sleeping virgin went to buy the oil, that's when the bridegroom came. That's right. Don't you see it? It's the Presbyterian and the Episcopalians and all those others are come seeking for the Holy Ghost. You better get your lamp trimmed. Trimmed, yes, it needs trimming. Pentecost better be trimming some lamps, amen? Get a lot of this world cut from you. It done got corroded over. The wick's got in bad shape. You know, that wick is a great thing. I used to watch. What a real wick of God is. A believer is a wick. Look, he's got fire on one end of you, up here, and the other end is dipped in oil. Joy and oil are making fire. What a church. What a power. What a place to be. Hallelujah. Shining. That same gospel light that shined in the east is shining in the west. It shall be light in the evening time. Rise, trim your lamp, Pentecost. Trim off the world. Trim off the fashions of the world. Trim off the things of the world. Get ready. The hour is at hand. Right? When they went to get this, what happened? What taken place? Then the bridegroom went in. See, America has blasphemed the Holy Ghost. She's made fun of it ever since it come on the scene, existence 40 or 50 years ago. She's constantly made fun. The churches are made fun. They showed themselves. They began to stick their head out and say, we'd like to have a little of this. But just as they go to doing that, it's a sign that we should go to trimming our lamps. God, raise up preachers that'll go to trimming lamps. I'm telling you, what we need today is something that will trim a lamp so the true Pentecostal fire. You get an old lamp all to where the carbon gets on the lamp wick, it'll smoke your lamp all up. That's what's the matter with us. We got too much carbon on the lamp. Too much carbon. The fire can't draw right. It can't get enough air from the bottom. What we need is a good breathing spell, a good breath. Fresh breath from heaven of the baptism of the Holy Ghost over again, and the Holy Spirit working in the church with signs and wonders following the true seal of God. Now say, well, I go to the assemblies. If they don't treat me right, I'll go to Foursquare. Oh, you carboned up. You're smoking your lot. Trim your lamp. Get ready. We're at the end. But they will, somebody will preach it. Somebody will tell it. Somewhere there will be some of them that will get it. That's right. I don't know how many, because he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be in the coming of the Son of Man, wherein 8 souls were saved. But I don't know how many will get it, but there will be some of them that will trim their lamps. That's all there is to it, for it's lamp trimming time. Let's ask our musicians to come forward, if you don't mind. Brother and sister, there is a few people, I believe that the alert of it is, there's going to be so few that will go in the rapture because it's because they refuse to trim their lamps. You can have the lamp, you've got the wick, you've got everything in it, but we've got to trim it. You know what? The best thing we can do as a Christian, brother and sister, is whenever you are disciplining yourself with the word and saying, I've got to cut back on these things. I've got to cut these things out of my life because it is draining my experience. There's things that can get between a husband and a wife and it will drain your experience with your wife and your husband. There's things that can get in your experience between you and your parents, your relationships. There's things that can get between you and God, brother and sister. And it's like a carbon buildup to where you can't draw the oil like you used to. These people, but listen to me, these people that had these, I believe they had oil at one time, brother and sister. But something happened to where they stopped drawing the oil. They stopped drawing the presence of God. What happened? Satan will put distractions in your life, brother and sister. Satan will put carbon in your midst to where you stop having the experiences that you once had. I want the carbon taken away.
Amen.
I want God to come and trim my lamp.
Amen.
Lord, help me. to trim my lamp. Help me to be faithful to trim my lamp.
Amen.
Because you know what? You've got to do it. It's a personal experience.
Right.
God deals with individuals of the church. Let's place it. Jesus Christ, the one I've been holding, is no longer with me. And they didn't realize that Jesus was right there with them, but he just changed masks. He changed forms. And Jesus was walking with these men in the midst of this tremendous trial, thinking that they just seen God in flesh in their midst, and he was crucified. It felt like all hopes are gone. My revival's gone. Everything that I had was gone. What am I going to do? And they were walking down this road in that mindset, and the whole time, Jesus was walking right with them on the road of Emmaus. and they never acknowledged who it was until he began to break bread. And whenever he began to break bread with them, they realized, this is him. He is with me. God is with me. And listen to me, you can see Christ through the breaking of the bread. It's through the word, brother and sister. It's not through emotions. It's not through sensations. It's through faith. He is with me. He's just changed his mask. I want to ask you, just with sincerity of your heart, don't look around, just sincerity before you, and say, you know what? Brother Daniel, it feels like I haven't seen God in a while, but I want to. I want to see. Why don't you just lift your hand before the Lord? God sees your hands. God bless you for your honesty. God sees your hand. You defy the law of gravity when you raise your hand before the Lord. As we pray now, I want you to say, Lord, I want to see you because I know you're with me. Your word says you will not forsake me. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning, Lord. There are believers in this building, Lord, that love you. And Lord, they just desire to see you in their midst, Lord. And just as sure, Father, as you never left them on the road to mass, Lord, you just change forms. You just change mass. And sometimes when we're going through a trial, sometimes it's so hard to see you, Lord. But Lord, their hands went up this morning and say, Lord, I want to see you again, Lord. Lord, I want to see you in my midst, Father. I want to walk you. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to draw from that oil, Lord. Lord God, I ask you to take all the carbon away, Lord. Lord, you've given us the word, Lord, to do it with. I ask you, Father, that you would come, Lord, and knock at the hearts, Lord, this morning, Lord. There's so many people, maybe they did receive, Lord, in their heart at one time, but they didn't let you be the Lord of their life, Lord. And we know that's what you desire, Lord. You don't want to just come to the living room or to the kitchen or a certain room. But Father, we want you to come through every door of our heart, Lord. Be the Lord of our life, Lord. Be the Lord of the harvest, Father. Lord, I ask you that you would walk through every heart this morning. Would you knock on every heart, Lord God? Give them a fresh opportunity. Say, Lord God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not testifying of what you do in my midst, Lord. Forgive me for looking at the things that's going wrong and not looking at the one that's right, Lord. Oh, Lord, I ask you, Father, walk the aisle, Lord. May your spirit just, Lord, may we be able to fresh, Lord, say, Lord, I want my marriage to be right with you, Lord. I want my connection to be right with you, God. Lord God, refill us with your spirit, Lord. Lord, if there's any here that's sick this morning, not feeling well, Lord, I ask you once again to unveil yourself to them as the healer, Lord. Lord, as your word does not change, your word says that by your stripes we were healed. Lord God, and I know it's a divine promise, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you would move yourself and manifest yourself in that way this morning. If there's anybody here this morning that would like to have pray with you, you're certainly welcome to come forth. You don't have to. You can receive it right from your seat. But the altar is sure open to you if you'd like us to pray with you. Lord, ask Brother Tony to prepare to come forth.
Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through this moment. what the hope of glory is. The Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. The only hope we have for glory is Christ in you. You know, when the scripture says you must be born again, obviously the first birth that we come into this world with is not what it's talking about. So when he talks about being born again, it's talking about having a new life come into you. And the scripture says if you don't have that, you're none of his. It's just simply a new birth. Having Christ come in you, and that is your hope of glory. Been on my heart just for several days now that I don't really want to just kind of, and it seems kind of fundamental, but to go back and show you scripturally why you must have the Holy Ghost. And then after that, what you must do with that Holy Ghost. Because God didn't just give you that life so you could just, like the scripture says, you don't hide it under a bushel.
Right.
Right? He wants us to use that. And so it's really been, you know, it doesn't surprise me, Brother Daniel's go the direction he's gone this morning with this. So, because we must have that life, and we must have that spirit, and then we must let that spirit, we must put it to work in our lives. God does not want us trying to do anything in ourselves.
No.
He wants it to be him. And so, you know, Brother Branham tells us that we know that when we have a hunger inside, that hunger is there for a reason. You get hungry, it's your body telling you, go get something to eat. Because if you don't, you're going to get weak. When we have a hunger for the spiritual things of God, we must feed that. And if we don't feed that, then we become weaker in our Christian walk. Brother Bram tells us in Things That Are To Be, that hunger is in there so you'll feed it. Because as you feed it, you're developing the body you're going to live in when you get there on the other side.
Right.
Just like you eating here develops the body here. But what happens if you don't ever feed that? How much of that body's being developed over there? What is your character makeup going to be like there when you get there if you don't ever feed here? So these concepts that he talked about are very true. It's the utmost importance. Not numbers. It's not anything like. It's just the life, to have life in you, the life of Christ in you, and let that life be what's living in you. You know, he talked about, read the scripture there about every spirit that confesses not that Christ is come in the flesh. And it's been a while since I've said this, but when I look at that, any spirit, any doctrine, any book, any society that tells you that you can't have Christ in you is antichrist. Because that's the whole purpose of the gospel is to get Christ in you. Because if you don't have Christ in you, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to be with God throughout eternity. That's the whole thing. He came here so that he can come back in you in the form of the Holy Ghost. And so that's what we must have. And then any teaching, any doctrine, any church, any book, any society, any school, that what they teach keeps you from having that experience, that's an antichrist movement. Right? Very clear. So that's what we must focus on is, hey, get this in us and let it live in us and be. God is specific. Brother Daniel says, why was God so specific about these things? He's so specific because somehow he had to come into this world and find his own, get his own, bring his own out without the rest of them coming. He's very specific, and he knows that when he's very specific, his sheep will follow his voice. The rest of them won't. He knows that we don't have a problem with him being specific. Believers don't have a problem with Jesus Christ being specific in the word about how we are to live and act and what it really means to be a Christian. We don't have a problem with that. Why? Because we're his sheep. We're not offended in his word. The scripture said at the end time, many will be offended. What are they offended? What's the world offended about this message? Right?
Yeah.
They're offended because they're not part of it. It's not they're but God's children, God's sheep, know his voice. They're not offended at whatsoever. And so, you know, Brother Branham, we've talked about it many times, about how he was sent to find a wife for Christ, obviously. In the middle of 65, he still hadn't done that yet. You, and the sermon Ashamed. But just before he left, he preached the invisible union of the bride of Christ. The union that you have with Jesus Christ is invisible. It's not something that you're going to show and it's some big ceremony, but something happens in private in you. The very next night, the sermon he preached was Works is Faith Expressed. And you take the first letter of that phrase, it spells wife. We had an invisible union. Now she's married to him. Now what does a wife do? Works is faith expressed.
Right.
Let me say it this way. Works is your love for him expressed.
That's right.
Right? That's the very next sermon. He didn't tell us this. He didn't say, hey, by the way, look at the first letter. We've picked up on that.
Right.
But if you look at what he was showing and saying there, is that once you become the wife of Christ, then there's a conduct, there's a life, and it is your faith is shown by your works. And that's how it's known that you're the bride of Christ, because you act like it.
Right, yeah.
Amen? And so we know that's the truth. David got in trouble. It's not like Brother James says, it's not about numbers. David got in trouble because he numbered Israel. Because God, the whole concept there was, hey, don't worry about how many numbers you got. Just know that God's with you. As long as God's with you, you know, you with God is a majority. Right? It don't matter. Just you and God alone. If you're sold out to him, then that overrides the whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
But David, and so Israel wasn't supposed to number and see how, they weren't supposed to take inventory and try and see, well, look how big our army is and how many chariots and what we have. It doesn't matter what you have as long as you've got God.
Right. Yeah.
And David got in trouble, and it was a serious matter, and there had to be things happen to atone for that. And so don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Just make sure you're walking with God. And know that you are living, you have opportunity to live this message out in front of the world. And your work, you know, when I had all that back pain and God healed me that one night, I told people all over the place about it. Tell them about what God has done for you.
Yeah.
You know? Because the scripture said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You give other people confidence to believe when they hear and they say, you know what, I work with this guy. I've seen this guy. I know that he's real. And he's telling me that God did this and God did that. And it's going to give them inspiration. But also know to realize that we're living in a time where as this is being lived out, it's opportunity for people to come. But it's also opportunity for people to seal themselves away from God.
Yeah.
Right? Souls in prison now. I had a guy that worked for me and healthy, slim, trim, healthy, ate healthy food every day. It was amazing to me. And I got an opportunity, you know, while I was just working with him some there. And he knew where I stood, you know, as far as a Christian walk and so forth. But I had just a special opportunity to share with him some of the deeper things. Where he you know, he's like, but he didn't do nothing with it. He didn't receive it. He didn't like push back at it, but he just didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
And very shortly, within 2 months or less, he came down with cancer. And I talked to him and I told him about the healings. I told him about Brian Melton's sister. He worked with Brian. I told him about the things, you know. Just hoping that through these testimonies, he'd say, but what, could you ask your church, could you pray for me? And he never did it. And he died. See, this word is here to do something.
Yes.
Right? We're not just floating along, just whatever. God wants us to live it. Because this is the hope the world has. This is all they have. The hope of the word. Amen. And so Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me enjoy that.
Amen.
I really appreciate the way the Holy Spirit moves and works. He speaks from this pulpit.
Yeah.
Don't say that because of me or because of any other man. I just know, and Brother Daniel testified the same thing. You just know how the Holy Spirit works. And he speaks right here just as fluidly as he does in any other pulpit anywhere else. We might not be the biggest, we might not be the loudest, we might not have the most numbers or whatever. It doesn't matter. Christ is with us. Amen. Amen. And what you need to do, as Brother Dan was telling you this morning, take this. Believe it. God is speaking to you in it, right here in the midst of your brothers and your sisters, not just in your ministry. You can look across the aisle and you can see God if you'll look for him. Amen. Amen. If you got enough of God inside, you'll see God on the outside.
Amen.
Amen. So we just really appreciate that. It's not my purpose to come over and try to preach after Brother Daniel, but I know it's expected that the minister, the pastor, would say, amen, amen, this is right, listen to it. And that's what I do. I want you to understand that God truly speaks. Amen.